Blog Talk Radio.
So we're still on Blog Talk Radio too, right?
Yes.
Cool.
So we just have to be quiet because it's recording. That way we don't have to edit it. All right. 5, 4, 3, 2. And we are live.
Good morning, folks. My name is Dr. Peter A. James, and I would like to welcome you all to the International Mastermind Association's Think and Grow Rich show. Excited to be with you all here this morning. And whenever you're listening to this show today, as we dive into this phenomenal book, but we look at it from a unique perspective, from our own lives, from our own businesses, from our own careers. We usually have a special guest that we analyze how they've utilized the book. But today, we have some phenomenal round table hosts that we're going to dive into and find out how they utilize this book for their own lives, but particularly the chapter on organized planning. So the questions are going to revolve around, how do you plan in your life? How do you plan to do different things in your life, for your personal life, your career, your business life, whatever the case may be? And I'm sure some phenomenal conversation will arise out of this show. But I would be remiss if I didn't start by introducing our phenomenal host. And I want to start off with the master builder herself, who has been the backbone of this entire show, Ms. Ann McNeil. Good morning to you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Peter. Yes, it is going to be a phenomenal show, and my name is Ann McNeil, and I am the master builder helping you to build a stronger and better life with my McNeil Factor Insights from this book.
All right. Good to have you with us today. Then there's the owner of Sula 2 Publishing. Ursula, how are you doing this morning?
Absolutely wonderful. And yes, I am Ursula Odom, CEO of Sula 2, and we make old, new, and everything we do, in that we capture, preserve, and present legacy information and present it to you.
Awesome, Ursula. Thank you so much. Then we have this leadership strategist and master coach, Galen. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Dr. Peter. Yes, I'm Galen Bingham, the leadership strategist. I'm also a founder and owner of Kill Global Coaching and Consulting, and we help leaders bake permanent success into their work and life. And I am just so excited to be part of this show as we discuss this really, really important book and chapter.
Absolutely. Planning goes into all of our activities. But definitely, you know, this is one of the most powerful women that I know. She's a speaker extraordinaire. Pagin, the baton is yours.
Good morning, everybody. My name is, thank you so much, Peter. I am so happy to be here because I work with Power Women Worldwide. I work with women to be bold, be brave, be seen, be heard, and yes, be paid really well. I'm the founder of Power Women Worldwide. I'm also the only Latina, the one of eight women in the Motivational Speakers Hall of Fame, and I'm here today to work with you to kick butt. How's that sound?
You kick that butt to gain. Thank you so much for joining us. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, again, my name is Dr. Peter A. James. I am the high performance coach, allowing you and your business to reach their potential, to realize their potential for sure. But before we dive into this book in detail and even go into these principles, I want to make sure that you as the audience know the ways that you can connect with us. We are live on Facebook. We are live on Zoom. We are live on Blog Talk Radio, of which you can call in or text in on any of those formats. If it's Blog Talk Radio, dial in at 661-554-9219. And I think you hit number 1 if you'd like to ask a question as well. So so many ways to connect, so many ways to ask questions about this planning journey that we're going in. But let's take a step back, and I want to ask Galen. Galen, can you tell us a little bit about these chapters, these principles that many of us hold so near and dear around this Think and Grow Rich text?
Yeah, this has been a really, really monumental and framing book for so many people throughout the eon. It was actually written in 1937 by Napoleon Hill, and there are several principles that are outlined, and I just want to kind of talk through several of these with you. The first is the author's preference and the introduction, and that's the first part of the book. And if you're like me, that's usually the first part I skip over because I want to get right to the meat of the book. But I'm going to tell you that would be a big mistake because there's so much meat in the author's preference and the introduction where he talks about the importance of the book. So really, really important. That's where you learn about all of the great people that Napoleon Hill interviewed in order to gather these principles, people such as Henry Ford, such as William Wrigley, such as George Eastman of Eastman Kodak, President Theodore Roosevelt, President Taft, President Woodrow Wilson, and the list goes on and on. So definitely read the author's preface and the introduction because that sets up the rest of the principles. The first principle is the principle of desire, and that is the turning point of all achievement. You can't do anything if you don't first desire to achieve. The next principle is faith, the visualization and belief in the attainment of desire. Next, we have auto-suggestion, the medium for influencing the subconscious mind, how we talk to ourselves and the words that we say, the words that we use to explain what it is that we're trying to achieve. The next principle is specialized knowledge, the personal experiences and observations. So much of the time we think of specialized knowledge as being only that which we can acquire from a school or a training course. But Napoleon Hill talks about how it can also come from personal experiences and observations. The next principle is the principle of imagination, and Napoleon Hill calls that the workshop of the mind. I think the quote is something like, if you can conceive it and believe it, then you can achieve it. And we talk about two kinds of imagination in that chapter. The next chapter, which is the chapter that we're on right now, is organized planning, the crystallization of desire into action. You can't achieve really anything, although you see it very clearly, if you don't have a plan, if you don't have an organized plan as to how you believe you can achieve this, you're really just practicing at that point. The next chapter is that of decision, the mastery of procrastination. We all fall victim to procrastination from time to time. And Napoleon Hill says the way that you conquer procrastination is by making a decision. And decision is actually a word that comes from the root, the Latin root, that means to cut off all options. This is the way that it is going to go. And to make that decision in your mind, the universe then starts getting out of your way because the universe does not like conflict. That's the chapter on decision. The next is persistence, the sustained effort necessary to induce faith. Would love to be able to tell you that once you decide that you want to achieve something, everything's going to be easy, it's going to be smooth sailing, and you can just march to the bank at that point. But Napoleon Hill reinforces that no. It's going to get challenging, and you need to have persistence in order to achieve that goal. The next chapter is the power of the mastermind. And quite honestly, the power of the mastermind is why all of us are here. That's why we meet two other times each week before you see this show, because we're wanting to build off of what each of us knows individually. Once we combine, you can get a lot past any of us individually. There are very few things you can get past the entire group, and that's why we want to leverage the power of the mastermind and teach you how to do the same. The next is my favorite chapter to discuss and talk about because it usually brings a chuckle to everyone's face, and that is the mystery of sex transmutation. And this is about how do you use the same energy that you would use when you're trying to attract that person of your desire. How do you use that to do the same thing relative to your goals? How do you attract that that success, that richness into your life that you have determined that you're trying to achieve? The next chapter is the subconscious mind, and that's the connecting link. I'm reading actually a couple of books on the power of the subconscious and how the subconscious really controls a lot more of your behavior and a lot more of your performance than you might imagine. We all want to think that we're conscious people, and yes, that is true, but the subconscious mind is what drives a lot of how we show up, and there's a way that you can influence the subconscious mind, and Napoleon Hill talks about that. Then he talks about the brain. That's the next chapter, a broadcasting and receiving station for thought. Literally, how does the brain work, and how can you use the brain to help you be successful, help you achieve your goals? The next chapter is the sixth sense, and that is the door to the temple of wisdom. You know, one of my hidden board members is Miles Davis, and he says sometimes you got to play a long time to learn how to play like yourself. This is tapping into that. This is tapping into just that idea, that concept, that belief that you have that you can't really put your brain or put your finger on how you came across that information. This tells you how to act against that sixth sense notion. And that's really all of the principles. But again, there's an epilogue, and the epilogue is usually, again, that part of the book where I just say, yeah, I've read it. Let me go ahead and flip through this. But that, again, would be a mistake, because in the epilogue, you're going to see so many incredible principles, such as how to outwit the six ghosts of fear. And let's face it, any of us can achieve any number of things if we weren't afraid. Fear gets in the way all the time. And Napoleon Hill actually talks about how you can overcome that fear, how you can identify it and then overcome it to be as successful as you were created to be. So those are the chapters. Today we're going to be focused on organized planning, which is towards the middle. I'm really, really excited, and these principles are some of the reasons why. So Dr. Peter, back to you.
Awesome stuff, Gail. Hey, thank you so much for jumping into the chapters, jumping into these principles that are so specific in this text. If those of you who are listening or watching have never had the privilege of gracing the pages of these texts, I highly encourage you to go out there and purchase it. Actually, we'll provide a link for you all to purchase in the chat room on Zoom and maybe even perhaps on Facebook as well. But let's dive into chapter six, the sixth principle of organized planning. And actually, Napoleon Hill calls it the crystallization of desire into action. And I don't know about you, I'm an action-oriented type of guy. I like to execute 100%. But execution pretty much goes nowhere if I don't have a solid plan behind it. And if I even go back into my military days, we used to go to 30, 60, 90-day plans. From the strategy perspective, if you're a business person, you know about the SWOT analysis, where you'll dive into your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities, and your threats. All of these are ways that you plan and strategize to be effective for your life, again, your career, or your business. And I'm dying to hear how all of our hosts here utilize planning, implement planning in their own lives. And I want to start out with the master builder, Anne, because she's been looking at the pages of this book probably longer than all of us here on this panel. And so I want to hear what planning looks like for the master builder.
Wow. Oh, my. I have to start with the first page of the chapter where
the author tells us that when you consider putting together your plans, this is how I view my, you asked us about the life.
Yeah.
Well, the author tells us on the first page of the chapter, he says, you know, if you're going to pull together plans and you want those plans to be organized, you must first form a mastermind group of alliance, of individuals who are willing to hold you accountable for your plans, but also they're willing to check your plans.
Right.
And so when you stressed us before the program started, you said your life, because I was thinking purely about the business. Come on, I'd already prepared to talk about how wonderful I am in my business and how I've made all these wonderful business plans and all the businesses I own, 5 businesses. And then you said, your life. So I then had to go back real quick, and I'm talking to all of you about your life, if you're anything like me. The planning of my life really in this book came after I began to plan my business, because I put so much emphasis on the planning of my business, the short-term, long-term plan of my business, that I began to think and believe that my name was the name of my business, because I really had not gotten off the treadmill of life to look at this book in a way where it related to my life first and then my business. So many years ago, I started writing a life plan, and that life plan coming out of the principles of this book with my mastermind group starting in 1980, 81, 82, 83, forced and encouraged me to write plans in 10 different areas of my life, starting with my spiritual, my family, my financial, my education, my health, my personal development, my business and career, my recreation, my creativity, and my civic area. And then I began to set those plans for 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and right now I'm living in my 40th year written plan.
Wow.
Yes, so now I'm also looking for the next 40 years, and that's why building an organization called the International Mastermind Association, writing plans for that, way after I'm gone, is a part of the planning process for me. So that is how I use the book and the planning and all of the pages in there and related to my life and my business.
Yeah, that's some good stuff there. It's high-level stuff as well. You mentioned you skirted over something, and we're going to go to Pagene next because I know she's got some phenomenal stuff. But you skirted over, before we do, you skirted over a point that I want to go back to. You mentioned just accountability really briefly. How does accountability tie into those plans? Do you share those plans with others so that they can help call you, help hold you accountable? Because some people don't like to be held accountable.
Well, actually, that's one of the toughest areas, and I always share this quick story about the fact that when I first started on this journey in 1979, and by the time we got around to starting our first mastermind group with about 10 ladies in the early 1980s, I kept saying, you know, I'm going to start a business. Inside the mastermind group, we would meet every Saturday morning at 7 a.m., 10 of us. And week after week, month after month, and then it went into years, I kept saying, oh, I'm going to start a business. And this one lady, I won't call her name, she said some things to me that were very hard and harsh. Yes. Our mastermind members, we all remember that day because I won't let anybody forget it. And I keep bringing it up, and I'm glad you brought me back to this, because it is the accountability of your mastermind partners who are willing to be brutally honest with you to help pull you through. And so because she challenged me that day and she told me, she said, I'm just so sick and tired of hearing you talk about what you're going to do. Where's your plan? Take a class. I mean, I was sitting on 2 degrees. I never thought about taking a class to get my contractor's license. I kept talking about it. And so that's exactly what I did. I went out to the class, and the rest is that story, but I would have never done that if she had not challenged me. So, yes, the mastermind group of accountability is imperative in the accomplishment of your plan.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. If you don't have an accountability partner, if you don't have a mastermind, please seek to get somebody who can challenge you on those plans to even help you refine those plans as well. Sagin, you know what I love about you? I don't know if I've ever told you this. I love the fact that you have a solid tribe and you are able to challenge them on their plan and their strategies. So tell us a little bit about what planning looks like for the infamous speaker, Sagin, in her world.
So I love this because I love this so much, and it's perfect timing.
Yeah.
Because there are two plans that occur. The plan Sagin, the human, creates, and the plan that Universal Strategy creates. And what I mean by that is I had to learn that there's Sagin the mind, and then there's Sagin power, which is this internal soul place that says, you're worth it. You can do so much more. What are you doing? Come on, I know you can be there. Now, in the book, they talk to you about auto-suggestion. So just know that part of the planning was, who do I want to be in this world? Who do I dream of being? Because the plan starts with what you're thinking about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of this amazing plan. But when you start thinking, so then you start creating this, you know, I'm awesome, I'm fantastic, I'm great. I love the story, if you've ever read about Muhammad Ali, you know, and everybody used to say, you know, he would say, I am the greatest, and everybody thought that it was him being braggadocious to the world.
Mm-hmm.
In truth, what he was doing was telling himself who he chose to be. He chose to be verbal about it. And that goes back to the mastermind, that goes back to organized planning. So part of what we need to be doing is saying out loud who we choose to be. So those of you that know me, I have two mottos: be feisty, be fearless, be focused and fun, and I also add flourishing, right? So be feisty, be fearless, be focused, be fun, and flourish. Ooh, girl, you're so good. Then you know, my other thing is that be bold, be brave, be seen, be heard, and be paid really well. I grew up on TV, right? I grew up watching TV commercials. Let me tell you, all of you can read, all of you can recite a TV commercial jingle that got embedded in your head. It made you buy what you wanted to buy. Why would I let somebody decide who I'm going to be when I can choose to be who I want to be? Now, the other part about organized planning, so that's part of organized planning, that leads to people like Ann McNeil says, you know, you keep on talking after a while, everybody starts believing in it, and when you just don't act on it, people start calling you out, right? Yeah, you keep on saying you're feisty, fearless, and focused, and fun. I don't see you doing all that stuff, you know, where are you? So you have to live up to what you're saying. But in organized planning, and I talked to you earlier this morning, so just so you all listening, you all think we show up here today all dressed and looking pretty. We have a meeting at 6:30 in the morning on Wednesday, then we have a meeting, then stuff comes to us on Friday, then we have a meeting at 7 o'clock where we don't look like this when we're there. We are in our mastermind to unwrap who we are. And there is a statement in here that is drawing me to call me to action, and I asked my accountability partners here to call me out. The statement is here on page 115 of the book. So anybody that has this book, this is where it is. But what it is written is, the world is undergoing, this is written in 1930, the world is undergoing a rapid change. This means that the media through which the changes in human habits are promoted, must be adapted to the changes. The media here described are the ones which more than any others determine the trend of civilization. I chose a long time ago to be feisty, fearless, focused, and fun. I chose a long time ago in my own planning to be the voice and say what needs to be said, even if I'm going to be knowing, not even knowing, not even being. I recognize when you lead and you say what needs to be said, there's nobody behind you. They're not jumping into the fight with you. You're just happy to say it, and then they'll email you and say, oh, thank you so much for saying it. Well, here's my thing that I was telling this morning. You know, we're talking about, we have been talking about Black Lives Matter. We pushed my friends, Peter, Galen, and Michael, this past month to share a depth of vulnerability. My thing is, I understand leadership. I understand that each one of those people that has been sharing their truth of who they are is alone in that world when they say it. And if I'm choosing to be feisty, fearless, and focused, I have to step up and be where they are. I have to say, because I don't look like you, Galen. I don't look like you, Peter. I don't look like you, Ursula. I don't look at you, Anne. And anybody that says, I don't see color, freak y'all. I see color in this world all the time. I see flowers of color. I see diamonds and rubies and emeralds of color. Lord, nature put it there. So these are all my amazing gems. So I need to step up. I need to say it is not dependent on you to be the people only speaking. That is up to me. So in organized planning for me today, it's been about, so what's my plan? Big loudmouthed person, what's your plan? What are you going to say? How are you going to vote? How are you going to show up? How are you going to post? So I'm getting off my brand stand, but my truth is, if I live by Think and Grow Rich, and I want a rich life of diversity of people's thoughts, perspectives, ideas, and experiences, then, and I choose to value people for the magnificence that they bring, then my organized plan needs to have a plan to ensure that the world hears that. That my plan needs to make sure that any board that I'm on has a diversified board. That my plan is that I speak up and say it. That it's my plan to ensure that I call out when I see it. That it's my plan to highlight the brilliance of my peers and never and not just have everybody look the same on every leadership panel, on every sales panel, on every piece. That's my plan. All right, I'll stop now.
I love it, Pagin. You know, what I really love about what you said is you're absolutely right. The media has a tendency to drive the what's the hot cycle in our lives. And you're right. With the Black Lives Matter, the anti-racism sentiment, the systemic injustice that we've been living for the last few weeks, you mentioned before the show that how the media has subsequently kind of ramped down with it because that's not part of the cycle anymore and that's not the hot thing. But, you know, what I wrote down when you were talking is I don't need to let external media or external factors impact my plans, my strategies, and my life. I need to be intentional, as you mentioned Muhammad Ali did, and have those great affirmations, but then also couple it with what Anne was saying with the accountability piece that is so necessary to accomplish those goals, and accomplish those strategies. And as a result, even in my own life, what I've decided, in my own business, what I've decided to do is carry that torch, especially the anti-racism and systemic injustice in the workplace, carry that forward because that's been going on for years. And now I'm making intentional plans, intentional strategies to be able to do so no matter what the media does, no matter what others who are not focused on it right now are doing. That's how I'm planning. So thank you so much for sharing that. And Ursula, I want to kind of go into this planning stuff a little bit more deeply with you, especially from the perspective that in your world, especially with your books and what you're publishing and what you do, planning is just a serious part of your day-to-day, probably your month-to-month, year-to-year life. Am I mistaken?
Oh, you're right. In fact, I was told once that I was both a task-oriented person and a people-oriented person. But what I want to talk about today is a part of what's on page 133, and it's a part of the self-analysis questionnaire for personal inventory. And number 19 says, it asks, have I followed the habit of budgeting my time, my expenses, and my income, and have I been conservative in these budgets? So what I want to talk about is the fact that sometimes life makes you plan at a granular level. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that at one point in time, I found myself driving a sports Tahoe in the middle of a gas crisis and costing about almost $100 to fill that baby up. So I learned very quickly that if I left the house, I better get done every single thing I needed to get done. And I would make a circle around the city. And I'm serious. I would plan my entire trip right in the city. And so add that to the fact that I was in sales at the time. So you're supposed to be going back and forth to people's homes and trying to preserve gas and what have you. So what I realized that, okay, layered on top of that, I would do something that we talked about in network marketing. Don't go out to recruit. Recruit as you go. So I went to the grocery store because that was on my list. And I talked to people. And I would go to the library and I'd talk to somebody. Go to the post office and I'd talk to someone. You have to be very deliberate when life gives you something that you've got to deal with that is challenging. And that's how I planned based on the plan being given to me. And today I know that when you're talking about network marketing or internet marketing or whatever, where you're recruiting people, there are different tools that you can use today, but the whole process is still the same, is that once you find yourself doing something at a detail level, layer it and get more out of it. Prior to the show, there are some of us that will go out and post in one area, someone do a Facebook Live, and someone else will text you. So that is dealing with the plan and taking action on the objective for what we know is beneficial to all of us. It's beneficial for us to share, and it's beneficial for you to get that information. So that's what you see at work. It's the plan at work. Yeah. And then finally, there's another time in my life where life forced me to plan. I was married to this awesome man, Isaac McElroy, and he was a network marketing master. And we had all these plans for life. And I was the princess. Yeah, he called me that. And I still smile when I think about him saying that. There's a whole story behind it. There are some people that don't even know my name to this point because of that. But he died. And so I find myself saying, oh, my God, now what? I had planned this life of being the princess. Well, that's no longer. I sat down at that point in time. And I list everything about everything I'd ever learned, everything, whether I liked it or not. If I learned it, where did I learn it? And then on the right-hand side, I said, am I still using it? Is it still of value? Am I making money doing this? Do I want to do it? No. And what I discovered, because I put my name in the middle, is that I found out who I was because what was central to the entire process is I remembered that when I was a little girl, I crawled under my grandmother's bed and I pulled out a box of letters and photographs and I loved the story and I sat at her feet and got her story. That helped me decide what I wanted on the right-hand side, making money or not. Because it helped me understand what I enjoyed and what my desire really was. And that is to capture the story and to present those stories to people that can benefit from them, especially as it makes history relevant to young people today. Mm-hmm. What about the struggle can be of value to you today? So that's how I use organized planning.
Yeah, some phenomenal stuff there. Ursula, you will always be a princess in my book, so just know that for sure. But thank you so much for sharing those plans and those strategies about what you needed to do in order to turn the corner, or even for that matter, travel around the city, what the details needed to look like in order to, for you to accomplish that, especially on a tank of gas, right? So, Galen, I know you are the leadership strategist, and I know that planning and strategies is a big part of leadership, just in general, even from a coaching perspective, it's a big part of coaching. But I want to hear, you know, how that really manifests itself, maybe with a client, maybe even with your own self in your own life, really show why, maybe you would answer this, why some people don't like to plan.
Yeah, great question. Great question. Yeah. And just a little bit of full disclosure. Yeah. I'll tell you, as we started preparing for the show and you said, you know, hey, look, this is what I'm going to want you guys to talk about. I got kind of nervous because mm-hmm. I was thinking, you know, I don't know that I use the organized planning principles from this book in what I do because, and here's where my arrogance comes in.
Sure.
You know, gosh, I've been educated in some of the biggest and most prestigious schools in America, and I've learned these principles from books that I've studied, such as Stephen Covey.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of where I've gotten these principles that I leveraged to be extremely successful in some of the biggest companies on the planet, and that's kind of what I was coming in with. So I was actually a little nervous. Until I turned to page 120 in this book,
right.
And Napoleon Hill starts talking about how to get the exact position you desire. And he lays out these seven principles that all of those books, all of those companies, all of those classes, any company that's talked about strategy that I've had the opportunity to attend or work with, they all pull from these seven principles. So I just got to read these to you. The first principle is that you have to decide. Mm-hmm. He says on page 120, you've got to decide, define, and briefly put it in writing exactly what the job is that you're looking for. And by job, I'm going to ask you to exchange the word job for objective. Right. So decide what objective you're trying to achieve. And then he says step two is to choose the specific company that you want to work for. And so for this, I want to say instead of company, say the exact customer or the exact consumer or the exact person that you want to work with. The third step, according to Napoleon Hill, is study your prospective employer and their policies, personnel, and opportunity for advancement. So this is where you learn about the people that you're wanting to serve, that you're wanting to work with. That is strategy. The fourth step, and I think that this is the most important step, is he says, do some analysis of yourself and determine what is it that you can offer. What can you offer? So even if you're working as part of a company, you're doing strategy planning for a company. I work with a lot of companies that bring me in for strategic planning, and we spend a lot of time trying to understand what is their offering? What is it that they do that their competitors can't do, and how do we position that in the right way? And then the fifth step is where I got convicted, because this is exactly what I say to my clients. He said, forget about the job. Now, this section is about finding the job that you really want to have. And he's saying, forget about the job. Forget about whether or not there is an opening. Forget about the usual routine of asking, do you have a job for me? Concentrate on what you can give. And that's exactly what I reinforce with my clients all the time. The sixth step is once you have your plan in mind, arrange your experience, put everything in writing so that you can create some sort of document to reinforce those things. But that's exactly what all of those fancy classes that I've taken, those fancy courses that I've gone to, and all those really important people who I said that I've studied with, they all pull from this book. So that's how I use these principles, and that's how it ties back to this chapter.
Galen, what do you think is the problem? Why don't some people – what is the challenge about planning?
I think it's much like I described when we were going through the mm-hmm. chapters. People want to get into what they believe to be the good part. People want to mm-hmm. jump right into the good part.
Yeah,
and there's an old adage that to be successful you got to measure twice and cut once, right? Yeah, we can jump in.
Yeah.
But how do you know what you're doing? How do you know what the objective is? How do you know what you're trying to achieve if you haven't first thought about those things and thought about the best possible way and the most efficient, the most effective, and the most profitable way to achieve that goal? That's what strategy is. That's what organized planning is.
So I just want to ask your perspective, Galen and Peter and everybody, because what was popping up to me as you were talking about when you were asking, you know, what stops people?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that was coming up for me was something that you had just read, which is, you know, what can you offer? You know, what are you, that self-analysis. And I personally think that the reason that people don't do the planning and don't do some of the things is they've been telling themselves that there may not be, they don't realize that they've been telling themselves that they're not quite good enough, they're not quite great enough, they're not quite ready enough, and they've been abusing themselves so long by what they've been telling themselves that the idea of I have to do an internal investigation of myself to discover my strengths, the fear of going within and doing that self-discovery, and the fear is I'm going to go into a really dark place to see all my failings,
mm-hmm.
all the things that aren't working. And because they've been in their mind saying that negativity, they're afraid to go within to discover all the good opportunities, the blessings, the gifts that they have, the awareness. And on another part, which Galen, you were saying, is that I think it's in the other part of if you've been in your egocentric head and always saying, I'm amazing, I'm great, I'm awesome, I've got no failings, I can do it all, I'm awesome. There, you know, you don't want to do the deep investigation to discover what the limiting attitudes, perspectives, the beliefs that you have for yourself, but you don't want to go there because one is you've spent so much time believing that you don't have them. And you and everybody here, we know we've got our blessings and we've got our cold, right? That dark stuff. And I think that my perspective, and I want to ask my master, do you think that that stops people from doing that self-analysis so they could do the plans?
Well, I'm going to jump in here because as all of you are talking, and I go back to the whole idea of plan starts with chapter one. If we're not clear and have clarity on what we want, what are we planning for?
Mm.
So when the question was asked, what stopped most people, I can just speak from my own personal experience. I didn't know that I did not know what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So how could I plan? What am I planning for? And so when you think about the fact that these principles are all built on top of each other, like the game mentioned about auto-suggestion earlier, once you have the plan, once you know how much money you want, let's say it is money, once you know how much money you want, then you get down to step number four, which says, where's your plan
mm-hmm.
for the money? So in order to get to the planning chapter, you have to go by the faith chapter, because you need faith for the plan to get the money. You had to go by the auto-suggestion chapter because you need that affirmation statement of what are you going to say to yourself in order to make the money. But you also need that specialized knowledge because what are you going to do and are you going to be known as an expert in that space to make the money, okay? And then, of course, you need the imagination to come up with all of these wonderful ideas to make the money. Now we're in the chapter on organized planning, and it is the largest chapter because it is the fact that you've got to have plans. But the plans may not always work, going back to everything everybody says, which is why your mastermind accountability is so important. And going back to what Bikin is talking about, and actually Galen talked about before the show started, this whole idea of your subconscious mind and all of these things that can be cast, like Bikin talked about, those fears and all of that stuff that we all have to deal with on our own
way, in our own way, at our own time. So this is so very powerful that it is a journey. It's not a destination. So I just wanted to just respond with that, because if we're not clear and have clarity about how much you want, the plans are for naught.
I like what you just said there, and about the destination and versus the journey. So many of us want to just get to the destination, and because we don't plan, we'll procrastinate, and then wonder why what we set out on is not working, right?
Hey, you know, one of the things I wanted to highlight, because I think Ms. Ann really amplified this, is just the universality of all of these principles. You can literally take these principles and apply it to anything that you are trying to accomplish, whether it's money, whether it's finding a job, whether it's attracting, you know, your life mate. These principles are just principles of life. And it would be so easy to say, wow, what an amazing person Napoleon Hill was to come up with these principles. But he came up with these principles by interviewing some of the most successful people that ever walked the earth during his time. Mm-hmm. So this is really this, you know, I've said that this is a formula for success. This literally is the formula for being successful in whatever it is that you determine you want to achieve in life. So I just want to highlight that, because Ann just really amplified that so nicely.
And I got to jump in here, because if you haven't noticed that, you know, Galen and Peter and Ann, you know, we talk a lot, but we, you know, one part of that mastermind is calling out our mastermind members. And we've got a member that grew up with a whole big family, that they were a lot of talkers. And so sometimes she stays quiet. She's watching. And you know, so I'm calling you out, Ursula, because I'm not letting you just, you know, it's not happening. So, hey, Ursula, you've got something to say. I know it.
Well, something more than what you think, because I grew up as an only child. But I discovered I have 13 siblings that I didn't know about. So I'm learning how to be that person in a big family and loving every minute of it. Like, I found my tribe. They are some wonderful people. But this is all really good for me, because it does force me to get out and talk about the things that are dear to me. And again, I look at you sometimes and I go, okay, so on my plan of things to do, I have to be bold, be beautiful, be whatever. So, seriously, on a serious note, though, when you said that this morning, it made me realize that I want to do that. I want to sit down and analyze who I am and put it in words, because that is the affirmation that Ann was talking about, and putting it in a form that means something to us viscerally. That means something to you. And obviously, the one word that meant something to me that stuff was be bold, okay? And make money.
Good stuff.
Well, since I have the mic, I want to.
You do have the mic, yeah.
I want to talk about something that both Pagim and Anne just beautifully introduced, and that's the fact that if you're talking about an accountability for your life and determining what your life goal should be and not having that fear, then there's something that will help you, help me, help all of us. And that is the accountability meeting that takes place every January, first weekend of the month. And what happens is that we come together and put down the plans that we hold dear to us in 10 areas of our life as laid out by the master planner herself, master builder herself, Ms. Ann McNeil. And it's not like a conference. It is a meeting where we are held accountable for what we say we want to do. And if we haven't said what we want to do, we got to come up with something, because, you know, one of the things she says is that if you had to stand before the Creator and say, here's what I did last year, and you haven't done anything, how are you going to convince the Creator that you should have another 365 days?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it makes you accountable for you about what you believe in. And you are, and when I say you, I mean you, as in everyone that's listening. You have an opportunity to be a part of that. It's going to be January 9th, 2021. So you have time to organize your money, to organize your time, to organize anything you have to do in order to be there, because that is going to set the tone for the next year and for the rest of your life. And it's going to take place on a Saturday starting at 8 o'clock in the morning at the Embassy Suites in Boca Raton. So that's a good thing to do, be in sunny Florida. Whatever excuse you have to come together and plan your life. That's what it's about. It's a family event. I brought my daughter and a six-year-old to the event, and that was a wonderful experience. It's not just about you. It's about the entire family. You'll see families there that mastermind together. You'll see brothers. You'll see sisters. You'll see friends. You'll see short-term people that are just starting their masterminds at that particular time, or they've been together for 20-some years. You'll find everything. You'll find someone that you can relate to. Trust me. Been there, done that. Love it.
I also want to just suggest that we will place a link in the chat on Facebook for those who want to register. We'll also place the link in the chat as a part of this presentation on Zoom. But you can also go to Eventbrite and you can search Think and Grow Rich Accountability Meeting, and you'll be able to find that. So please register, because the price will double shortly. Thank you.
And before we go around and ask everybody their big takeaways, I want to also just say this Think and Grow Rich Accountability Meeting at the beginning of the year sets the tone for your year, sets the tone for the rest of your life. So this is a great example of planning, and a big word that I've written down that has resonated for me as we've talked with each of you is intentionality, being intentional. So plans have to be intentional. Planning to be at this accountability meeting should be intentional. So that being said, I'm so excited to kind of wrap things up a little bit, but I want to go through each of you. I'm going to start off with Galen here in a little bit and say, hey, what resonated with you with today's show about planning? What have you been thinking about, maybe from someone else? And then don't forget to share with people, Galen, how they can get in touch with you, because they're dying to get in touch with the leadership.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. This has been an amazing conversation. Let me start with the last part. You can get a hold of me by going to galen@killglobalcoaching.com. That's K-I-L-N, globalcoaching.com. And, you know, one of the things that jumped out at me is actually part of the conversation that we had before we went live. Mm-hmm. And Pagene, as she normally does, was taking us in a direction that I don't think anyone was prepared to go. And that's what great Hall of Fame motivational speakers do, right? But it really did help me reflect on some things that we talked about on previous shows, and I think it ties into this one as well. So I wanted to share with you this quote from Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning, because I think it does kind of tie in. He says, "Everything can be taken from a man, but one thing, the last of human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way, between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom." So, those are words of Mr. Frankl, really, really important in this whole motivational, inspirational space. And for me, that really does tie into this idea of change. Yeah, we've got this thing that we think that we want to be, but let's use that space to determine our response, to determine how we want to go about achieving this thing. Napoleon Hill talked about that in detail. Napoleon Hill actually tells you how to do that. It's one thing to say, this is what you should do. Napoleon Hill said, this is what you should do, and this is how you do it. And that just really became really, really front and center to me. And that's a big part of what I try to do and whatever business I'm running at the time. So with that, I'll go back to you.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff, Galen. Think and Grow Rich really does provide the template for us. Again, this book really, you know, the title is deceiving a little bit because it just says Think and Grow Rich, and so many people may be turned off by it. But there's so many lessons, especially around planning and strategizing for your future, that resonate from these pages. So give us a little bit about what jumped off the page for you for this session today, and let us know how we can get in touch with you as well.
So, you know, Galen, when you were going through that setup about, you know, how to get a job, was one of the things that was coming up for me is a lot of times, and I've read this book a lot of times I've gone to them and I'm like, well, I'm not getting a job, I'm an entrepreneur, that's not where I'm going at. And I read it fast, avoid it. And not avoid it, just like, I've done that, I don't need to look at that again. I can skip that chapter, I got it. What you reminded me is, as Anne has shared with us, the book reads us. And so I loved how you said change the word and all that and being aware. And I did have the opportunity to be with Steve Covey, and I was coached by him for an opportunity that just came up for my husband and I. He absolutely knows that everything he was sharing came from the book, Think and Grow Rich. And you said something, Peter, that was so just resonating with me right now, which was, you know, a lot of people see Think and Grow Rich and like, it's really funny. I don't want to be rich. That's a bad thing. Seriously, this has given me a rich marriage where I'm married for over 30 years. This is a foundation of who do I want to be in my marriage? This is who do I want to be in the foundation as a parent? This book is a book that everybody that has a kid, if you just gave birth to a kid, this book was where I learned to whisper in my baby's ears to say, you are going to college. I'm not paying for it. You are going to graduate without any loans. I whispered in their ears that from the time they were born. Let me tell you how that works. Both kids graduated from college, no debt, no loans. Andrea was so good at manifesting this, she got $350,000 in scholarships to the best colleges in the world. And when she graduated from Wellesley, where does this ever happen? Didn't pay anything, was given a check of $5,000 when she graduated because there was too much money in her account. Who does that? That's what this book does. Yeah. What does Think and Grow Rich do? I am living me in a way that's magnificent. You hear Anne McNeil saying, you know, she's been doing this 40 years and she's thinking that 40 years more. I plan on living to 115 years. I plan to keep on going. I plan to do this. And that means that I have to keep a vision of who I choose to be and plan it out. So I can get on and say, here's how you're going to reach out to me. You're going to reach out by just going Pegine, P-E-G-I-N-E. You're going to reach out by Googling P-E-G-I-N-E Power. You're going to go to Power Women Worldwide. You're going to find me because I don't need to find you. When the student is ready, you will find me. As a teacher, I also know that I have to be ready to receive you. So I am receiving you if you're choosing to be a Jedi woman who's being called to be ambitious, wealthy, magnificent, powerful, to be bold, brave, seen, heard, and be paid well. So if that's what you want, you're going to look for me. P-E-G-I-N-E. That's all you need to know.
That's all they need to know, Pegine. Thank you so much for sharing that. And yes, the title is deceiving. Think and Grow. It is about so much more. even getting your kids through school with no money out of your pocket. Ursula, as we head on over to you, a lot of good stuff. A lot of pearls have been dropped today, Ursula. What has resonated with you? And tell us how we can get in touch with you as well.
First of all, you can get in touch with me through my website, SulaSue.com, or email SulaSueLLC@gmail.com. And what resonates with me is that in thinking about planning and evaluating what we want in life, I also realized that it helps you make decisions quicker and better. Because if you've already decided, I want this, and you have no idea how you're going to get it, but you know that you want it, it's locked away in your head. So when that opportunity presents itself, you can make the decision because you've already made that decision. But if you haven't made the decision and that opportunity presents itself, you'll go, oh, there it goes. Mm-hmm. It just went by, and it's too late. And how that came about once that brought to my attention, I was putting up a fair at the state fair, and I was cutting and pasting and hanging and all kinds of stuff like that. And at noon, a friend and I went down, and I bought a car. And I came back, and I continued what I was doing. And the person said, how do you do that? I said, oh, well, I'd already decided. I just needed to go implement it. And I came back and did what I was doing. It wasn't a big deal. Just follow the plan and take the actions based on the plan, based on your decision. And decisions come easier when you know what you want to do and you know what that desire is. So, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, no, sorry about that, Ursula. I love that about the desire. I love about that about the intentionality and the implementation. That I like that one. I just wrote that one down while you were saying that also. But, Anne, you know, as we wrap this up, a lot of good stuff has been said today. You've even dropped some stuff that I've had to write down a couple of times as well. But how do we get in touch with you, and what are some highlights of the show?
Well, highlight for me is to reset the goals.
Hmm.
If we can talk about planning our business and our life, but the people we were back a year, 5, 10, 20, 30, some of us 40, 50 years ago, it's like our hairstyle and our, you know, different things about us change. Our plans change. But our plans can be no greater than our vision. And so one of my major takeaways from this planning is that when we set the goal, money, be mindful to reset it. Because if we're not careful, our plans will be stuck on the old goal. And to make that real in my life, when I started this 40 years ago, I said my goal, you know, the author asked me, number one, how much. I said $1,000. He said, by when? I said, a year. He said, doing what? I said, you know, I got a good corporate job. I'd save the money. Wrong answer, but I had to learn to start a business. But this is my point. I couldn't see past a year. I definitely could not see 5 years out. But as our mastermind group grew, we set that goal for 5 years and 10 years. Well, it was 15 years later before I realized I was still living on a five-year-ago goal. 15-year-old goal. So now my goal now is to save $1,000, pass it, a day. That goal forces me to stretch my plan that now they're so much larger than I can even envision achieving, which causes me to stretch every day. So that's my major takeaway when we talk about organized planning, but in every area of your life. But please remember to reset the plan. Thank
you. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that, Anne. And how do we get in touch with you?
I changed my name on the Zoom, and it's annmcneil.com. And my number is 786-546-0184. Thank you.
She puts her phone number on the screen for you all. Who does that? Anne McNeil does that for sure. Hey, folks, my name is Dr. Peter A. James. I am the high performance coach. You can get in touch with me at Dr. Peter A. James. That's at DrPeterAJames on any social media platform. Please don't hesitate to reach out. I think LinkedIn is my favorite, so don't hesitate to send me a message. You know, what I love about what Ann just said there, and I've written down a couple of notes. I'm going to read them in just a second. What I love about that is, you know, a lot of younger folks, and I'm going to call out younger folks on this one because us older ones, we know a little bit about how much more planning is important. When you're young, Ann said you can't sometimes see past a month, 6 months, a year. And so you're almost like, why do I even need to plan for it? You know, stuff is going to change. And even though circumstances may change, even though the environment might change, plans can be adjusted also. They can be reset, as she just mentioned here. So it's important to go ahead and put a plan down on paper and just realize, hey, I might have to shift it a little bit in order to still accomplish my goal. Some of the things that jumped off the page to me this session, plans are intentional. Accountability needs to also be intentional. And Ursula said it a little while ago, implementation and execution also has to be intentional. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not purchased Think and Grow Rich, please be sure to do so as soon as you can, because so much of these gems will jump off the page of you. Thank you so much, Kadeem, for showing that to us. And ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our session today in Think and Grow Rich, the International Mastermind Accountability Show. Please stay tuned and join with us every Saturday morning on Facebook, on Zoom, on Blog Talk Radio. But if you missed the show, don't worry, you can still find it on all of these platforms in the future. Until next week, thank you so much. Please be safe and God bless. Take care.
Before we wrap up,
What I missed.
But I was going to say, let's take a photo, but of course, my book is a little tattered and it's a different one, but when Bikin held her book up, it wouldn't be a bad idea to take a group photo with the book, even though my book is tattered.
Wait, I got to get my book over here.
I was giving my other one through the screen. And we want to thank all of you that chimed in with us today. Please continue to join us. And also, please like and share the show. All right, Bikin, it's up to you to take this great photo and share it.
All right, she got it.
All right, thank you, everybody. Have a good day.
Thanks.
Goodbye.